So that's Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Jason will come and open that to us. Thanks, Jason.
We don't really think about the small stuff in life, do we? In fact, if anything, we're wired to assimilate the small stuff, automate it. So as we learn and experience new things in life, they're challenging at first, aren't they, when we first start to learn something or experience it for the first time. But eventually we get to the point where we've just automated all of those things. How many things are there just in life, do you think, that are like that? Once upon a time we had to learn, or we experienced it for the first time and it was overwhelming, but now we just do it all the time without even processing it. Things like eating breakfast. It was hard to learn when we first had to do that. It took years. Eating breakfast, driving to work, even doing our job when we get to work. We struggle at first with how to even do things like this. But over time, if we do them enough, we manage to master them and eventually we just assimilate them into our routine. We do it with our eyes closed. We can do things after a while without even thinking about them. Autopilot. Do something enough and we just do it on autopilot after a while. We don't have to think about things anymore. They get filed away with the small stuff that doesn't need any more of our creativity. And so there we go, file it away. We still pay attention, of course, as we do things like drive or work. But if it's the same old, the processing is happening in a deep subcomputer somewhere, way down in the background. Our main engine is freed up for new things that we're trying to learn and come to terms with, thanks to this innate natural ability we seem to have to automate things that we already know how to do. We just don't need to think about small stuff anymore. Nor, mind you, do we give much thought to the really big things in life. The really big things like, I don't know, how the current speed and trajectory of planet Earth is doing at this moment in time. Or maybe closer to home, how the civil authorities are treating the wastewater coming out of our houses. Whether the falling price of grain or whatever might have flow-on effects to some of the clients that our company serves and services over the next 5 to 10 years. The big things arching over the top of what we do in our day-to-day reality that we just don't usually give our thoughts to as we go about our busy lives because we don't need to. It's actually, when you think about it, there's a narrow zone in which our focus does lie. Neither the small stuff nor the big stuff tends to receive our attention. Our energy and our attention are fixed in that narrow zone, in between the small stuff and the big stuff. The zone where we need to focus to get through the things we need to get through. We operate like this day in and day out within that defined field of view. It's not a shallow field of view, but it is limited, isn't it? To what we've become accustomed to and what we need to focus on. Not really processing small stuff anymore. nor thinking about the big things that are over and above us and that really are beyond our control anyway, when you think about it. And yet, sometimes the small things rise up into our zone of vision. The small stuff can sometimes get in the way and tangle us up. Sometimes the small stuff seems hard, even overwhelming. Sometimes we stand in the kitchen, I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes we stand in the kitchen staring blankly into the pantry in the morning just thinking, I can't make a decision. What cereal do I feel like? I don't even know. I mean, that's the one I usually eat. That's my go-to, but why? Do I even like that? I don't know. What even is cereal? Maybe I should eat toast. Sometimes the drive to work is too much. The traffic, it's just more than I can bear at the moment. I can't cope with that traffic this morning. The bus is too slow and too infrequent, and the trains are too crowded. I don't even know if I can get out of bed, let alone travel all that way to work. And of course, sometimes, don't even mention work. Must I go there again? Why? At times, the small stuff that we usually do routinely and usually hovers below our radar sometimes rises up and just confronts us. Sometimes it overwhelms us. And so too, sometimes the big things push down on us. Sometimes life actually does get hard, overwhelming. Sometimes there are actually real and insurmountable pressures pushing down on us, beyond our control, just crushing us. My colleague at work has got it in for me. He's constantly painting me in a bad light to the bosses, and no matter what I try to say, I just make it look worse. He's trying to do me in. He's trying to get me fired. There's nothing I can do. Or maybe it's, I can't seem to even find work. I've done everything we're told to do. I just can't land it. I don't know how I'm going to keep paying these bills. Or maybe COVID is just getting out of control. COVID is starting to undermine the fabric of our society, and I don't like it. I don't know if I can handle much more of this social disorder. There are certainly big things out there, and yes, they crush us from time to time. They push down and squeeze us. Sometimes it's small things rising up and getting in the way. Sometimes it's big things pressing us down. And let's be honest, sometimes they both squeeze in together in concert, as if they work hand in hand. Our field of vision becomes more and more as if we're trying to see our way through just this tiny letterbox slot, as if we're wearing Ned Kelly's iron helmet, if you know that. And sometimes, of course, it gets so bad that we can't even see a way forward. Well, the psalm that we've opened up today helps us to once again find a wider view of life. Psalm 46 wants to lift us out of that strained experience and show us a better picture, a fuller picture. It wants to expand that frame of reference that we operate through so that we can see life more clearly, and not just this earthly life and the things we're dealing with tangibly, but to show us more of the infinite sphere that lies beyond this earthly existence and experience, the picture that we tend to be focused on. It wants to show us beyond that, and it's a short psalm, and it's a psalm that doesn't waste any time in its purpose to recalibrate our view of life. In verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Small stuff rising up and overwhelming you? Is there big stuff pressing down from above? The psalm writer starts by just lifting that Ned Kelly helmet off our heads altogether. Whatever you're facing, remember this, it is God who protects you and strengthens you. But sometimes, of course, that simple truth was already thrown out the window as soon as these pressures started to hit. As soon as this life starts to squeeze in on us, where do we look for help? Ironically, we often turn, as if instinctively, to the things of this life to help. When the things of this life are crushing us, we actually turn to different things of this life to help us. But that is not where our hope is to be found, according to the opening premise of this psalm. Don't get me wrong, God has certainly blessed us in so many ways, with all kinds of helps and treatments and advice and wise people, particularly in this modern era. He's blessed us with so many helps, but ultimately, says the psalm, he himself is our refuge and strength. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We read that in Romans 8 this morning. If God is for us, who can be against us? And not just is God for us, but he is a very present help in trouble. The rest of that verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help. We should pay as much attention to the second half of that opening verse as we do to the first half. We do not push through times of trouble in this life without God knowing it. He is with us in the trouble. We may, of course, as I say, have stopped thinking about that when trouble comes. As our field of view tightens in, sometimes God drops off our radar. But we don't fall off his radar. We don't fall off his radar. And nor would it seem that it's the kind of case where maybe we'll be able to summon God to our side to help us in trouble, as if we could go through the right rituals or earn his favour or something and summon him to help us when trouble hits. He's right here with us in the trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And as if to further open our eyes on this, the psalm then puts to us a hypothetical, and you can check and confirm for me, this is a hypothetical like none of us have ever seen. I mean, I know the world seems chaotic right now, as much as ever, but look at me with verse 2, and please just confirm for me that nothing like this has ever confronted us. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. It's like an undoing of creation itself, that language, isn't it? And we are nowhere near that kind of scenario yet. Nowhere near that. Not even as in verse 3, has ever such a thing threatened to happen. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. I don't think the psalm is trying to make little of the troubles that we do encounter in life by giving us this hypothetical that's so far beyond our experience. There's no doubt about it in the scriptures. The big and small that we do encounter in life can absolutely floor us at times. I've got to say, at times when all of us feel the same pressure at the same time, the whole picture looks particularly ugly and messy. But here's the helpful calibration from the psalm. God is a very present help. No matter how fearful or terrifying or unbearable or complicated or frustrating or disappointing life gets. Whether it's for one of us battling out on our own or whether it's for all of us corporately trying to find a way forward, even if the earth was about to give way into the sea, deep, deep in our spiritual DNA, you and I can still know that God is with us. Because even should that unfold, God would not have changed. God would not have changed. in all of that. He would still be our shield and our refuge, and we could still count on him as our very present help. And of course, the earth will not be swallowed up by the sea unless God permits that. Again, we note that no matter what we are going through, our God, who is with us and is ever present, knows what it is that we go through. And he knows what he is doing. Sometimes, even if we think God hasn't been with us and helping us in times of trouble, this Psalm 46 here might make us just stop and reflect on that a bit more carefully, come to see our a different perspective on our situation. As bad as it might seem, where would we be if he hadn't been helping us? Again, verses 2 and 3 are much, much more than what we are experiencing, no matter how hard what we're going through may seem at the minute. And yet, even if verses 2 and 3 happened, God would be our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The next stanza of the song seems to lift us up, pointing our eyes towards the future. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. It's very similar to that final part of that vision of heaven that we read before in Revelation 22, isn't it? Whatever unfolds in this life, even if the earth should fall into the sea, we know that there is a future in heaven where we will dwell with our God for eternity. And the river of life will flow forever, as Revelation 22 says, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. The psalm now seems to be lifting us out of our current struggles in life. In verses 4 and 5, there's a change. It picks us up and reminds us of the glory that we know is still yet to come for us. And it will come by the promise of God, who is our refuge and strength and our ever-present help. And he, by the way, is of course the one with whom all these things rest. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Sometimes I read through these psalms and my heart is just singing. They're so beautiful and so fitting. And until I come across things like Israel or Jacob here, and I start to wonder if I can still take the words of these songs for myself and for my own situation. I mean, I identify so strongly with the rest of it, but I don't really identify with Israel or Jacob. I'm not part of Israel's tree. I'm not part of Jacob's family tree. I don't identify as one of Jacob's descendants. So does this song still apply thousands of years later and on the other side of the world to someone like me? The fact that we don't know Jacob or identify as Jacobites or Israelites is actually the encouraging, the powerful and the empowering thing about that statement. You see that phrase, the God of Jacob, isn't trying to convey something about me. It's trying to convey something about God. God is still the same. God is still the same. The God whom Jacob served all those thousands of years ago on the other side of the world is still the same God who you and I serve today. He has never changed, and he never will. And towards that end, he's working the same plan now as he always was way back then. He still is and always will be an ever-present help in times of trouble for his people towards his purposes. Because unlike Jacob, unlike you, unlike I, God does not waver from his plans or his purposes for those whom he loves. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Again, from Romans 8, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Our field of view, our zone of operation might fluctuate from day to day, but God's field of vision never changes. His mighty work never wavers from what he has decreed. He will work all things, good and bad things, for our ultimate benefit, according to his purposes. Even though at times we can't see that. After giving us a glimpse of the future in that second stanza, the final stanza seems to direct us back to the past. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. What God has done in the past is what God continues to do. This is how we can characterize God, the psalmist seems to be saying. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God is a mighty deliverer, we read. And of course we know from the scriptures, and the things of this world, as we know from the scriptures, cannot do anything to upset God's purposes. And this is the God, by the way, who is on our side, our ever-present help in times of trouble. He's worked mighty salvations in the past, and so we can count on him to work the mighty salvation that he has promised to all of us. And of course, the apostle taught us again in that reading we covered in Romans 8 that promise of the mighty work of salvation is not just for those who, for whatever reason, ethnically, I guess, identify with Jacob from all those thousands of years ago. It's not about that. It's about all those whom God calls, all those whom God justifies, all those whom God glorifies through faith in Jesus Christ, according to his purposes. So the conclusion to this old song, if we drop back to Psalm 46, the conclusion to this song and the way through all of our troubles, when they rise up or press down on us, comes in verse 10, and it comes with a change of voice. A change of voice here. God speaks in verse 10. God gives us the answer to all those pressures and threats that we're facing in life. Be still, says God, and know that I am God. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's promises and plans are not going to come unstuck. When the easy stuff suddenly seems overwhelming, or when things over and above our control suddenly push down on us, God has got our answer right here. Be still. Be still, he says. Literally, let go. Let go and just know that God is God and that he is with us. But let's be honest, it can be the hardest thing to do, can't it? When we're in the actual pressure of life, when we're right there in the thick of it, just be still. And yet this is the sweet counsel that God himself gives us in this psalm. Be still and know that I am God. So might I ask this morning, how's your field of view lately? What small stuff has been rising up and getting in the way? What big things are pushing down on you? Or perhaps you are travelling fine at the minute, and it's a brother or sister that the Holy Spirit has put on your mind as we worked our way through this psalm this morning. Remember these words, if nothing else today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And what does God say to our troubles? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. As God's people, we need not fear, because we are bound up in his vision. That's what he says is going to happen. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. And you and I, as his people, are bound up in that vision that he has promised. So we are secure in him. So take courage, brothers and sisters, and draw strength and comfort for the day at hand. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Shall we sing?